Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessi Fusel Novik, and today we are studying the seventh and final chapter of Sefer Micha, the Book of Micah. In this parak, Micha laments his stance as one of the only faithful Nevi'im of his day. He exposes the ills of the society that surrounds him, and he closes with words of Nechama, comfort, along with a short prayer to Hashem, which many of you may recognize. The chapter's 20 verses divide up as follows. In Psukim Aleph through Zion 1-7, the prophet bemoans the unethical society in which he lives, along with the fact that he is one of the last remaining true Nevi'im and has no one left from whom to learn. In part 2, Psukim Chet through Yud Gimel 8-13, Micha refers to a future time when Bnei Israel will confront their enemies and reaffirm their belief in Hashem. And after they have expiated their sins through atonement, they will be able to return to the land. And in part 3, Psukim Yud Dalet, to the end of the parak, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, Micha explains that Bizchut Avot, in the merit of their ancestors, Bnei Israel will witness miracles that will take place upon their return to the land. Miracles that will rival those that took place at the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Let us now turn to the text. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Micha keens over his situation and the immoral society of his day. Alelaili, ki hayiti ke'ospe kayetz, ke'olelot batzir, En eshkol le'echol, bikura ivta nafshi. Alas, for I have become like the last of the summer fruits, those that were left behind during the harvest and are no longer edible. Like grapes left on the vine during gleaning, so few in number and bereft of flavor, that the gleaners do not even bother to return to the vineyard and pluck them. There are no more clusters of grapes to be had, and my soul yearns for a fresh fig at its peak of ripeness. The phrase alalaili may be related to yilala, the Hebrew word for howling in pain. I also wonder if these expressions might be linked to the verb ululate, another word that denotes heartbreaking keening. In Pasuk Aleph, Micha speaks metaphorically, comparing himself to out-of-date fruit that no longer serves its function to provide nourishment and gratification. You may remember, gentle listener, that of the four seers who prophesied in his day, Micha was last to begin reciting Nevuah. It's not too big a stretch to suppose that he may have been the last of them to leave this world. Micha feels isolated. Moreover, he no longer has any colleagues to guide him, any experienced Nevi'im whom he may emulate, whose counsel would nourish him like a fruit at its peak of ripeness. Worst of all, society has deteriorated over Micha's lifetime. In verse 2, he says, Bet. Avad chasid min ha'aretz, v'yashar ba'adam ayin. Kulam ledamim ye'erovu, ish et achihu yatsudu cherem. One can no longer find even one chasid, a person who is devoted to Hashem and willing to extend himself for the sake of others. His ilk has perished, and there are no more straightforward individuals. Instead, everyone awaits an ambush, ready to kill. Men will conspire to ensnare their closest friends. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ohara kapayim lehetiv. Hasar shoel, v'hashofet b'shilum, v'hagadol dover havat nafshohu, v'ye'abtuha. They direct their strength towards perfecting the art of evil. The court officer asks, the judge expects to be compensated, and the highest official demands whatever he desires, plaiting a thick rope of corruption among the three of them. It seems that everyone involved in the justice system has his hand out, the judge, the officer of the court, and the highest official who oversees them both. By the way, Vayye'abtuha, the last word in this pasuk, shares its origin with the noun avot, ayin vet vav tav, which denotes a thick, heavy rope that is braided of several cords. Micha continues to rail against the system. Pasuk Dalet, 4. Tovam kechedek, yashar mimsucha, Yob mitzapecha pekutatcha ba'a. Ata tiyeh mevuchatam. The best of them is like a thorn. The most honest among them resembles a bramble of briars. The day anticipated by the prophets, your day of reckoning, has arrived, and now you will be thrust into confusion, not knowing where to turn. This next verse extends the idea that Micha expresses at the beginning of the chapter, that righteous people have ceased to exist in Shomron. Pasuk Hey, 5. Micha warns his listeners that no one is to be trusted. Therefore, Al ta'aminu b'reya, al tiftechu ba'aluf, mishochevet chekecha, shmor pitche picha. Do not believe your friend. Place no trust in officers. Guard what you say, even to the wife who rests in your embrace. The aforementioned confusion grows progressively worse. Society has been upended to the extent that, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Ki ben minabel av, bat kama be'ima, kala b'chamota, oivei ish anshei beto. For a son degrades his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the people of his household. Any historical references come to mind? Any contemporary references? As I've said before, reflection is indeed a good thing. This next pasuk marks the end of Micha's lament, speaking once more of the belief and faith that are his sole support. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, which closes the kinah, the lament, begins with the word ani, I, which according to Dat Mikra corresponds to Alelai, the word which begins Micha's hymn of mourning. Pasuk Zayin. Va'ani b'Hashem atzapeh, ochila lelokei yish'i, yishma'eni elokai. And as for me, I will yearn for Hashem. I will direct my hope to the God of my salvation. My Lord will hear me. Now, let's take a minute to appreciate the symmetry within Micha's lamentation. He references his own feelings of isolation at either end. He is alone because he has no colleagues, no kindred spirits. The people of Shomron are also alone, but for a very different reason. Murder and theft have become so much the norm that dwellers of Shomron must enforce their own isolation because everyone they care about, anyone they know, is liable to betray them. Everyone, it seems, is out to get them. This, too, bears a surface resemblance to Micha's situation. But at the bottom line, Micha's separation does not stem from distrust. Quite the contrary, it is one of faith. His isolation is that of an individual who will not compromise his ethics, who places his faith in the Almighty, confident that Hashem will guard him. In verses 8 through 18, Sukim Chet through Yud Chet, the prophet speaks to the future tshuva, repentance, both and physical return of Bnei Yisrael. In a nutshell, they will come to terms with the suffering they have experienced through generations and realize that Hashem has orchestrated the suffering in response to their own transgressions. At that point, the nation of Bnei Yisrael will be revived and renewed. In verse 8, Pasuk Chet, the Navi speaks in the voice of the newly enlightened people of Hashem. Verse 8. Al tismuchi o yavti li, ki nafalti, kamti. Keshev v'choshech, Hashem orli. Do not rejoice over me, my enemies. When I have fallen, I have arisen. When I dwell in darkness, God is my light. Throughout the years, Am Yisrael has managed to survive against all odds. Hashem's Hashkacha, providence, has been with them all along. Next, the people confess their culpability and look to a brighter future. Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Za'af Hashem esa, ki chatati lo. Ad asher yariv rivi va'asa mishpati, yotzi'eni la'or, er'eh b'tzidkato. I will bear God's anger, since I have sinned against him, until he shall do battle for me and carry out justice on my behalf. He will bring me into the light, and I will see his righteousness. That is, Hashem will make known that he has orchestrated the suffering that Bnei Israel have undergone when he now reveals their reward. Pasuk Yud 10. V'tere oyavti utchase busha ha'omrai lai ein Hashem Elokayich. Einai tir enaba ata tihiye lemir mas ketit chutzot. My enemy will see this, and she will be covered in shame. The Hebrew word for nation, ummah, is a female gendered noun. She who says of me, Hashem is not your God. I will see with my own eyes that she will now be trodden like the muck in the courtyards. In the contemporary polytheistic worldview, the gods of various nations waged war among themselves, and whichever nation came out on top had the strongest god. There was no thought that a good God might allow his own nation to lose a war because they deserve to be defeated. In Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, the nations respond, Yom livnot g'derayach, yom hahu yirchak chok. The day for you, Bnei Yisrael, to build up your fences, to repair the damages caused by years of war and exile, that day is far, far off. Nevertheless, Micha tells his audience in verse 12, Yud Bet, the day may be far away, but it is assuredly coming to you. Yom hu, va'adecha yavo, l'mini yashur va'ad arei matzal, u'l'mini matzal va'ad nahal, v'yam miyam v'har ha'har. They will come from Ashur, Assyria, to the city of Matzal, from Matzal until the Nahal, river, from river to river, from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. In the interest of time, I'll do some summarizing. Verse 13, Pasuk Yud Gimel, says that the enemy lands will be desolate because of the nation's evil deeds. The next two verses call upon Hashem to lead his flock once again, as he did in days of yore. Hashem promises that he will perform wonders before the people, as in the days of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Psukim Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin, verses 16 and 17. Yir'u goyim v'yevoshu mikol gvuratam. Yasimu yad al peh, oznehem techerashna. Yilachechu afar kanachash, tizochale eretz. Yirgizu mimiskrotehem, el Hashem Elokeinu yifchadu, v'yir'u mimeka. The nations, when they see these wonders, will grow ashamed. They will realize that their heroism comes to naught. They won't be able to take it. They will place their hands upon their mouths. They will deafen their ears. They will descend from their seats of arrogance. They will become so lowly that they will resemble the snake. Like the serpent, they will lick the dust of the earth. They will come to fear Hashem and to revere him. Sefer Micha closes with a famous prayer that we associate with the Yamim HaNoraim, the High Holy Days. This prayer is said at Tashlich, when we symbolically cast our sins into the water, and it is also recited as part of the Haftarah on Yom Kippur, at the completion of Sefer Yonah, the Book of Jonah. Tzad Mikra suggests that the Navi, regretful that his prophecy has not swayed the people, composes this prayer, perhaps on his own behalf, or perhaps on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, or perhaps, say it with me, y'all, perhaps both. Nevertheless, you recall the concept, Nevuah she'utzrecha ledorot, prophecy that is needed throughout the generations. And here we have been reciting Micha's prayer during the holiest time of the year for more than two millennia. He is not forgotten. This tefillah, which has been referred to as the 13 attributes of God according to Micha, seals his book. The next verses, Tzad Mikra points out, combine prayer and supplication with consolation. True, the people have ahead of them years of enslavement and galut, exile. But Hashem's people will once again return to their land. Micha attributes the redemption that will come about to two factors. One, Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name, so that the nations of the world will no longer say, where is Hashem your God? Per Pasuk Yud 10. And the other factor, Hashem's covenant with our ancestors, which stipulates that we, their descendants, would inherit the land of their sojourning as a permanent legacy. So now, let us have a look at verse 18 of our chapter, Pasuk Yud Chet. Mikel Kamocha, Nosea von Vover al Pesha Lisheirit Nachlato. Lo Herzik la Agapo, Kichafetz Chesed Hu. What God may be likened to you, you who endure sin, Avon, and look away from grievous transgressions, Pesha, from the remainder of his people. The word Avon, sins, refers to violations of Torah law that have been committed in full knowledge that they are forbidden. However, the perpetrator lacks self-control. The word pesha, on the other hand, refers to sins that were committed out of spite, not only purposely, but purposefully. In the next two verses, 19 and 20, Yutet Ruchaf, Micha comforts the people as part of his prayer, reminding them that, Yutet 19, Yashuv Yirachamenu, Yichbosh Avonotenu, V'tashlich Pinsulot Yam Kol Chatotam. Once again, God will have mercy upon us. He will tolerate our transgressions and cast away the sins of Bnei Israel into the depths of the sea, hence the source of the above-mentioned custom of Tashlich. Pasuk Chav 20, Titen emet liYaakov chesed l'Avraham, asher nishvata l'avotenu mimei kedem. Hashem will bestow truth upon the descendants of Yaakov, Jacob, and beneficence upon those of Avraham, per the oath you have sworn to our patriarchs so very long ago. Notice that the prophet does not say that Bnei Israel will merit the final redemption on their own, maybe because he's given up on them. He specifies that Hashem is nonetheless committed to the patriarchal promise. This, by the way, was Moshe's argument as well when he advocated for the people after the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. And as for the speedy fulfillment of Micha's prayer, Miyuten, if only. So ends our study of the Book of Micah. I hope that you come away from this course as I do, with a heightened understanding and appreciation of Micha HaMorashti, who taught us how to live and how to pray. Thank you. Thank you so much for studying together L'ilui Nishmat Malka Estel Batzvi Yosef.